You are listening to an audio podcast by the Durban Christian Centre Jesus Dome, a house of prayer for all nations.
I was just wanting to talk a little bit about designed for multiplied living. And the reason why we are talking about that is the beginning of this year in the New Year's service, we spoke about how 2016 would be the year of multiplied fruitfulness, okay? And so I want to just talk a little bit about how it is that it is in the heart of God for every man and woman to be fruitful, all right? God wants you to be fruitful. Would you look at somebody and tell them, God wants you to be fruitful? Look at somebody else and tell them, no more fruitlessness. All right. So last week, I then spoke a little bit about that, and I said, you know, how is it that we can turn our fruitlessness to being fruitful? We want to be fruitful. And I shared some points about how we can do that, and I spoke about number one, and I'm not going to go through all of that. I want to just pick up where I left off. And I spoke about how, for example, the first thing is it's important that we do an honest evaluation on our lives. In other words, you either have fruit or you don't have fruit. All right? It's important that you just say it like it is, and you then just allow the Holy Ghost to check your heart and it is what it is, all right? So the first thing is an honest evaluation. Then number two, you've got to take action. In other words, what must you do to fix it? Then I spoke number three on how, number three was, let me get to number three, that the fact is that we are the Lord's garden. We are the plantings of God. In other words, God plants us and we are planted in the soil of this ministry, just like a tree. But actually, it is the Lord's garden, and the fruit that we have is there to glorify God. The fruit. You are the branch. Remember in John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, he said that we would bear much fruit, for without him we can do nothing. So it's not the job of the vine to bear the fruit. It's the job of the branch. But the branch, when the branch bears fruit, the vine is glorified. When you and I bear fruit, all right, in every area of our life, God is glorified. But the other thing about that I said is that the fruit was never meant for you. It's for others, okay? Then I said number four, this is a deep one, deep, deep revelation. Plants need water. All right, and so it's the same thing that we need to be planted by the rivers of water, and water in the Bible speaks of the Word of God. It speaks of the moving of the Spirit. So if there is a shortage of fruit, what do you need to do, family? What do you need to do? Just increase the intake of the Word, right? It's amazing how we want little of the Word, but we want to maximize the fruit. And sometimes all we got to do is just maximize our time in the Word and maximize our time in the presence of the Lord, like what we did tonight. Amen? So that was number four. Number five, we said it's all about a partnership. And what does that mean? That means that we're planted in the garden of the Lord, and the secret is really in abiding in Christ. Just staying in Christ. And I spoke to you about what the word abide means. It means to continue to be, to last, to endure. And I said that really the key here is that abiding is an unbroken fellowship. It's an unbroken fellowship, a union of God's Spirit and your spirit. And the key word here is unbroken fellowship. And sometimes we have to push past the distractions. We have to push past the obstacles. We have to push past the weakness of the flesh. And we have to get into that place of having an unbroken fellowship. Why? An unbroken fellowship produces a momentum in the spirit. And it's in that momentum that there is a hidden power that becomes available to you and I. And when that hidden power is released in your life, You know what? It doesn't matter what happens out there. It doesn't matter what's happening to that business, what's happening to those people next door, what's happening in the economic realm, what's happening in the government realm, what's happening in the political realm, what's happening in the world realm. If you have unbroken fellowship with God and you are abiding in Christ, there is a momentum in the Spirit that will produce the kind of fruit that God wants to produce in your life. Can you say amen? Number six, I want to just talk a little bit about this. And if you want fruit, Jesus spoke about this. Allow God to prune you. What must you allow God to do? Allow God to prune you. All right. John 15 and verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He actually prunes you so that you can bear more fruit. God's not happy with you just bearing fruit. So he's going to prune you. And when he prunes you, you can go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit until you have abiding fruit, or you have lasting fruit, or you have remaining fruit. That remaining fruit is the influence that you have in reproducing that fruitfulness in others. In other words, bearing fruit and manifesting the fruit of God is so that in the end, it can be something to influence and touch people's lives all around you. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to reproduce Christ in others. He wants us to reproduce that fruit-bearing ability in others. Can you say amen? Now, let me talk a little bit about pruning, because pruning is not a pleasant thing, but it's necessary. Look at somebody and tell them pruning is not pleasant, but it's necessary. Why? Because pruning removes all hindrances to fruit-bearing in your life. Pruning really involves a cutting away of the old and the unnecessary. Pruning is the process of even cutting away the dead branches and the dead wood. And so sometimes we have to think, well, what are the dead branches and what are the dead wood in our lives? Amen. I thought a little bit about this. Some of the dead wood and the dead branches, for example, can be unhealthy relationships that you are involved in. And that is stopping the fruit of God. Listen, the Bible says for you and I not to be unequally yoked. And I know that you love him, and I know that she makes your heart beat, but if she doesn't love God more than you, you better think twice about that relationship. In other words, don't get involved in an unhealthy relationship where you are pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, and in the end, you have nothing more to pour into, okay? So that's some dead wood that you have to allow God to remove from your life. What else can be dead wood? I thought about this. What about baggage from the past? How many of you know that we are a product of our past? Huh? Is that right? Look at somebody and tell them, you are a product of your past. And I know that if I had to ask people here, some would have very sad stories, and some didn't know their mother and father, some were abused, some all of that kind of a stuff. But it's important that we have to cut away the old and dead baggage. Why? Because you can't run effectively and expect to win the prize if you're carrying too much weight in the spirit, too much baggage. What else is dead wood that we have to allow God to prune so we can bear fruit? How about cultural mindsets? Cultural mindsets that would stifle our dreaming and envisaging with God. Huh? What else is dead wood that we have to chop off? Habits and routines that are detrimental to our spiritual well-being. Can I get an amen in this place? All right, here's another dead wood that you have to allow the Lord to prune from your life. Here it is. Worrying what others think about you. Worrying what others think about you. Listen, I've learned something. The only thing that counts is what does God think about you. Don't worry about what he thinks and what she thinks. You know, you can be a hero today and tomorrow you can go back to zero. And then you're a zero right now, but tomorrow, next hour, you can be a hero. And it just fluctuates. You know, some people are high-fiving you, some people are high-stabbing you. And that's just how it is. But you have to really focus in on what is God saying about you. Don't worry what others are saying about you. That's dead wood, and it's going to stop the fruit of God from coming in your life. What else is dead wood that you have to allow God to cut off? Trying to compare yourself with others. I can't be Villa as much as I'd like to be. Villa is Villa. I am John. As much as I'd love to be Pastor Fred, I can't be Pastor Fred. There's only one Pastor Fred. I have to learn to be myself. Amen? Can you say amen? And you have got to learn, I've got to learn to be the best me and the best you that God created you and I to be. Can you say amen? What else is dead wood that would restrict us from bearing fruit for God? What about this? Afraid of failing. If you are afraid of failing, beloved, that means that you will never operate in faith, because part of faith is taking a risk. You're going to have to sooner or later get out of the boat, and you're going to have to put your foot on that water. You're going to have to take a risk, all right? And if you're afraid, no, you mustn't be afraid to fail. If you're going to fail, you must fail really well so that you are good at failing. But the important thing when you fail is to pick yourself up. Somebody was saying, what's the difference between somebody who's successful and somebody who's not successful? And the difference really is in this. It's not to do with education or how much you know or what degree you have. It's this. It's when you fall down, how quickly can you get back up? How quickly can you get back up? Some people want to stay down, and then they make 6 months out of a pity party, and then they lose out. But if you can fail and you can get up straight away, that's going to be the difference in your life. You're going to produce fruit and bear much fruit for God. Can you say amen? What else is a dead wood? I thought about this in my life, and for a long time, I thought I had to be and do everything. You know, I was raised up by my grandmother and grandfather, and so I didn't get much help from school, and because they could hardly speak English. And so I had to just get on with everything. I had to get on with the sports. I had to get on with the academics. I had to get on, you know, with everything. And I kind of was involved in anything. I was good at sports and academics, and I thought I had to be good at everything. And then I soon discovered I'm not good at everything. And then I had to ask my wife, well, what am I good at? And she paused and thought about it. And I thought the answer would come soon, but there was a further delay. And then, you know, 21 days later, no, I'm just kidding. But eventually she came up and told me what I'm good at. And so the important thing is stay with what you're good at. Because when you stay with what you're good at, that is when you will have maximum return in your life. You cannot be good at everything. That's the reason why we have a formidable staff and everybody is able to contribute. And the staff's strengths cover my weaknesses and my strength cover their weaknesses. I don't have to be good at everything. Hallelujah. You do not have to be good at everything. I want to be good at CrossFit, but I don't have to be good at everything. God's delivered me from that thing, and it's quite okay. Amen? So that's some dead wood that you need to chop up. What else? Dead wood that would restrict the growing of fruits. How about distractions? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Anything that takes too much of our time, our life, and our focus away from God. It can be hobbies. It can be habits. It can be work. It can be relationships. It can be the busyness of work and the accomplishment for you to do so that you can earn God's approval, okay? That is dead wood. Listen, you can get all of that and you can be successful and all of that, but when you get to the end, it would be terrible for God not to be in that thing, all right? Success is about God approving that thing, amen? What else can be dead wood? You know what else can be dead wood? Is the excuses that you justify yourself with. Huh? Excuses that you justify yourself with. In Luke chapter 14, New King James Version, it says there, verse 15, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' And then he said, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent a servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." Look at verse 18. But they all, with one accord, what did they do? They began to make excuses. Do you know that some of the excuses that we try and justify ourselves with are the very same excuses that are stopping the fruitfulness of God, the abundance of God? It's stopping God from increasing in you and from God in accomplishing His divine purpose and will for your life. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, I found that there are three kinds of excuses. There is, first of all, the outright denial. Let me see if I can speak English, which is a rejection of any involvement, even though you were absolutely 100% guilty. And then number two, it's the second excuse: it's not my fault. You've seen that before. And so we look for somebody that we can blame, whether it's a loved one, a spouse, even a boss at work, even the church. It's amazing how many believers want to blame the church. And the church this, and the church let me down, and the church disappointed me, and this, that, and da-da, and da-da, and da-da. Meantime, when you look at their life, actually, there was a lot of shortcomings in their life, but they're just looking for someone or something to blame. That's dead wood that you've got to get rid. Allow God to prune that from your life. The third kind of an excuse is this. They say, I did it, but. No. We can't blame the circumstances for our shortcomings, all right? So pruning is an important part of bringing about fruitfulness. You know that pruning, if the tree is damaged and diseased, then when you prune that, it reduces the disease and it prevents the disease from spreading to the other branches. So that's why pruning is very, very important. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that God disciplines because of His goodness, because of His great love for us. And here's the thing about pruning. The reason why we reject pruning is because we somehow think that God's against us and He's trying to teach us a lesson. But you must believe, family of God, that God is for you and not against you. And He prunes you in love. Would you look at somebody and tell them when God prunes you, He does so in love. Hallelujah. I know that it might go against our mindsets, but in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." If you have kids, you're a father or a mother, you know that chastening is important. We have to. Kids know rules. There are boundaries, and sometimes we have to chasten them. Well, it's the same with the Lord. In Proverbs 3 and verse 12, it says these words, "For whom the Lord loves," for whom the Lord loves, what does He do? He corrects, "just as the Father, the Son in whom He delights." So in other words, this is just like a father-son thing. This has got nothing to do with putting sickness on you and humiliating you and embarrassing you and shaming you. This is God's love for you. He's saying, "You know what? I see tremendous potential on the inside. I got a marvelous plan for your life. And where you are right now is not where I want you to be. So I'm going to have to cut some things back. I'm going to have to prune this. I'm going to have to remove some dead wood. I'm going to have to get rid of those excuses that you keep making up all the time. All of that is keeping you back from where I really want you to be." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and 6, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." Hallelujah. So we can see that pruning is necessary. Number seven, what else do I do to turn my fruitlessness into fruitfulness? Number seven, it's about diligence and discipline. What's it about? Diligence and discipline. Now, I know that the vine, the branch, is connected to the vine. And as long as the branch stays in the vine, then whatever is in the vine comes into the branch. In other words, it happens automatically, passively, because there is a living union with a living Christ, and the branch is abiding in the vine. You are connected to the source of life, and all you got to do is just stay in that place, right? So in other words, it's not you trying to make it work and you are just abiding in God, okay? And so automatically, the natural, that's why I said the one day, it is the natural, supernatural manifestation of abiding in God. It's natural. As a matter of fact, fruit comes because there is life. Fruit comes because there is life. Let me say that one more time. Fruit comes because there is life, and that life is flowing from the vine into the branch. But in 2 Peter 1:5, look at what it says. 2 Peter 1:5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and it goes on. In other words, the principle I'm trying to give you here is that God has given us His divine seed on the inside of us. It's the Christ seed, which is the potential for fruit bearing. The fact that God indwells us and we have the nature of God on the inside of us, automatically the manifestation of the God nature is God fruit. Okay? But we now add diligent and a serious pursuit to grow what God has given us. So we bring our diligence into God's presence and we place it right next to what God has done for us. That's why I like what somebody said. Somebody said this. He said, faith does not exempt a man from works. Faith does not exempt a man from works. The generosity of God does not absolve a man from effort. The eighth thing that will turn your fruitlessness to fruitfulness is the attitude of faith. What does that mean? That is my attitude, my response. My attitude will reveal my response. So in the natural, for any vineyard to flourish, it means that each and every branch has to respond to the attentions of the vine dresser. And it is how every branch responds to what is flowing in the vine. But how many of you know, not all branches respond alike? I mean, we can sit here today and we can then interview people outside and say, well, what was the sermon? And somebody will say, well, he spoke about how to turn your fruitlessness into fruitfulness. And somebody will say, well, there was Goliath and David, and I never even mentioned David and Goliath. But it's how the different branches respond. Some people say, I couldn't have the foggiest what he preached on, but it was great. And I think, okay, well, I don't know how that works. But every branch responds differently. And so by faith, we yield ourselves to Christ for the purpose of bearing fruit, okay? And so that we can fulfill the wonderful plan that God has for us. The truth of the matter is every branch is unique. Every one of us is unique. And sometimes we look at them and wonder why they blessed and how come they got their breakthrough. But we don't know the response. Look at somebody and tell them how you respond makes all the difference. Number nine, how do you turn fruitlessness into fruitfulness? Just increase in God. Increase in God. What do you mean by that? There is no way that you will increase in fruit without first increasing in God. Here's the scripture. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." Now listen, being fruitful, being what? Being what? Being fruitful in just some areas. In what? In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if you are short on fruit, what do you have to do? Just allow God to increase on the inside of you. 3 John 2 is a scripture that I've used many times. It says, "The beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers." So in other words, to the degree that you are prospering in God, to the degree that you are prospering in your faith, to the degree that you are prospering and growing and getting deeper in God and the things of God, is the degree to which everything else in your life begins to prosper. It's impossible to look for fruit without more of God coming upon you. But if you can get more of God, more of the substance of God on your life, automatically that will produce more fruit. If there is fruitlessness, all you got to do is just allow God to rise. The Bible says that in Psalm 68 verse 1. Let God arise. And then what? All the enemies will be scattered. What is the enemy of God? Fruitlessness. God does not want you to be rootless and useless and fruitless. Is there anybody hearing me tonight? Lift your hands and say, God does not want me to be fruitless, rootless, and useless. He wants you to be fruitful, beloved. He wants you to grow. So if there is no fruit, all you got to do is just get God to increase on the inside of you. That's why I love times when we can just spend time in the presence of God and just abide in Him and just be refilled and just allow the Spirit of God to do something fresh and something wonderful. Can you say amen? Number 10. I got another 10 to go. I'm just kidding. The last one. Number 10. What is it? Turn up the dial on the love of God. If you want some fruit, if there is little fruit in your life and there is barrenness to some degree, and you're not as productive and you're not as fruitful, and it's not really happening as it should be happening, another thing that you need to look at is just, can we just get more of God's love on the inside? You got to just focus on getting in that love. Why do I say that? Well, when you look at John chapter 15, which is all about the vine and the branches bearing fruit, John 15, look at how many times God speaks in that chapter about love. For example, in verse 9, John 15, verse 9, it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." He's talking about love. He's talking about fruit. He's talking about the vine and the branch and how we ought to bear fruit. And he brings in love. And if that's not enough, then in verse 10, he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." Then in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And then in verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." The reason is because it's impossible to bear fruits without the love of God operating and flowing freely in your life. So sometimes if there is fruitlessness, we have to just check the level of God's love in our hearts. And if you're holding grudges and resentments, I prayed for a woman this morning and she said, "I was greatly disappointed and let down." And there was such a sweet presence of the Lord as I began to pray upon her. She just began to break down. And I said, "Would you pray this after me?" And she was willing to. And I said, come on, pray. Lord, I release all hurt. I release all disappointments. And we got her to break free from that spirit of disappointment. Why? Because it's impossible to love if you're holding grudges and disappointments and let down. Listen, you just better put this in your pipe and smoke it. And here it is. What I mean by that is I will let you down. I will disappoint you. And you will do the same for me because we're human beings. So I need to factor that in, that, you know what, Villo, he's just human. He's going to let me down. Brother Terry McAlby is human. He's human as well. And he's going to let me down. I'm going to let him down. It's quite okay. All right. But the important thing is you don't let that stick in your heart. And now you get all, and there's like a poison that's been released in your body. And now the love of God cannot flow. If there is no love, there will be no fruit. Why do I say this? Because of the agape love. Look at verse 1 Corinthians 13. It says it there. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass. In other words, if you read verses 1 to 3, it says you can have the gift of tongues and of angels, but without love, you're nothing. You won't have fruit without love. You can have the gift of prophecy, but without love, you'll have no fruit. You can have the gift of intellectual knowledge, but family, without God's love, you will have no fruit. You can have a passionate faith and a fiery faith and a violent faith, but without love, you'll have no fruit. You can be liberal and generous and give money to the poor and all that kind, but without love, you'll have no fruit. You can even give up your body and be martyred, but without love, you'll have no fruit. Can you say amen? Hebrews 10 and 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Good works is just another way of saying fruit. Amen. So when we allow the love of God to rise up in our hearts, what does that do? That causes fruit to begin to grow because the love of God is there. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Father, I thank you for your word that's come to us because you declared to us that this year would be the year of multiplied fruitfulness. And I thank you that your word would resound in every heart, that we can go from this place, my God, because you desire for every child of God, every woman, every man, every boy and girl to be fruitful in every areas of our lives. And you purpose for us to go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit, and that our fruit would remain, that we can leave behind a legacy, that our fruit can go on down to the second, third, and fourth generation, that even when we are dead and gone, that the fruit that you produced in our lives would still be in effect. And this evening, I bring every person to you, Father, right now. I come against the spirit of failure. I come against, Lord, accusation and blame as well. That tonight, Lord, we're not going to allow excuses to rob us. We're not going to allow any dead wood to hamper the ability of us to bear fruit, because that's your heart for us. That's your heart. And you said if we simply remain in you and abide in you, that we would bear much fruit. And so tonight, Lord, I thank you. Help us. Give us the strength that whilst we are being pruned and whilst you are removing the dead wood and all of that that would be frivolous, all of that that would be non-essential, I thank you that you'll give us the ability, my God, just for you, Holy Spirit, to do a wonderful work in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, visit us on DurbanChristianCenter.com and stay in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter.